this year you're going to be seeing. What weird things did people put in their butt in 2016?
I feel like this should be a regular segment.
Yes, every year.
Yes,
I
love
this
so much.
Yes.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Welcome to the Trisexuals Podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
So I have to apologize. My voice sounds like utter crap right now.
It sounds like you swallowed a frog.
and he's talking for me. But the good news is we've contacted a doctor. I think he's going to be here in a little bit. Let's just, you know, press on with the podcast despite my terrible voice and see what happens, all right?
Let's give it a try.
All right. Up first is what's playing, and it looks like I'm listed first. I actually don't have a lot to talk about here. I've been so busy traveling for work, I haven't had a chance to play with a lot of toys. There's actually one toy that I got to play with a couple weeks ago before we recorded the last podcast that I forgot to talk about, and that is the Damn Average Seder. This is kind of like it's a deer-themed toy, right? It's kind of a thin, cervine toy, and I actually got a chance to be pegged by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, really perfect for pegging because it's so thin. It worked really well with my pansy pooper. The shape is, it's got like this kind of gentle curve on it. And of course, it's a very well-made toy. I've actually never played with a Damn Average toy before, but I was pretty impressed. We had a lot of fun with it. I think I might have to pick one of these up for us to play with. But Lily, what have you been playing with lately?
So I'm really excited because I actually won a giveaway. Yay! I won two Karma Sutra play kits. One is the Feel Me, which includes like a spanking crop, 12 Karma Sutra playing cards, an oil of love, which is like a vanilla cream flavor, some pleasure balm, and also some love liquid, which is I believe that one's also a lube. And then the second one is the Arouse Me kit. This one I'm really excited because it has like a feather tickler with a whip, more playing cards, Intensify Plus warming oil, and then Strawberry Dreams, which is kind of like this warming tasting one, as well as more lube. So I'm really excited for both of these to come.
Well, that'd be a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, right in time for V-Day. I mean, come on.
For V-Day?
Okay. Right in time for Valentine's Day. I'm so excited.
Is it called V-Day?
It is called V-Day.
It's like D-Day or something like that.
V-Day.
Well, we'll be experiencing some of the Kama Sutra, I guess, on V-Day then. Assuming my flight makes it back in time.
That's true. Oh, I hope it does. So, Kit, what have you been playing with?
Oh, my goodness. I have a lot to say. Okay. So, first of all, I just released a new review. And I've talked about the Geode dildo, crystal dildo, on the podcast before, so I won't go into it a lot. But in my review, because this toy has so much texture, because it really looks like a geode crystal, I had to adjust my technique to really get it to work. So I've got a little video up in my review, and we'll have the link and stuff so you can sort of see what made this work for me. So that was the first thing. The next thing, I had a really inspired idea. This is really cool. So I've been doing different things in my play sessions each night. And I've had some foot fetish fans kind of popping up. And that was sort of in the back of my mind. And so I thought, you know, I've never done any like foot worship for myself. That would be something new. So I did. And as I was, you know, doing foot massage and stuff, I'm like, what else do you do with feet? And I, out of the corner of my eye, saw the Labiova Majora from Xenoverse Synthesis. And I've talked about this many episodes ago. It's a mini penetrable, which it's actually a penetrable egg. And it's a great little egg. It's really cool. But like the penetrable is the perfect depth for toes. And I was like, this is going to be a toe penetrable. And it was actually really amazing. And so I've got a little tweet on Twitter you can take a look at that. I talk a little bit about my play with that. But it was kind of funny because I had that good experience. I had lots of my fans who were foot fetish enthusiasts pop up, and I have one of them made me some really cool fan art with a picture of my foot. So I've got that up, and I actually had some requests. Do you sell pictures? Do you sell vids? And I'm like thinking, hey, if you want to worship my feet and like pay to get some pictures and vids, yes, I will offer those. So I'm going to see about working on a package or something. Yeah, like that. But in the meantime, if you are interested in this, message me on Twitter, or if you are also on Telegram, and, you know, let me know, and I'll see if I can hook you up with some good fetish stuff. So, yeah.
I have a brilliant idea for a video you need to make, because people with the foot fetish thing, as I think we learned last weekend or last time we recorded, mm-hmm. like crushing videos. You should make mashed potatoes with your feet.
If somebody wants to pay for people a video of me mashing potatoes with my feet, I will do it. So anyway, and I'm writing up my review for the Labiova right now, and I'm going to talk about my experience with all of the foot stuff in a lot more detail. So keep an eye out for that. Plus, I have other cool things from that same company, some eggs and squishies that I found some very novel things to do with ovipositors and other stuff. So that review is just getting ready to be released as soon as I get a couple more pictures, and that'll be something fun. So one more thing that's exciting. I got a new toy in the mail. This is Frank's Monster from Lust Arts, which is one of the most like amazingly detailed Frankenstein sculptured toys I've ever seen. Like, I am serious. They have nailed the detail on this. It's amazing. And it is a custom color. It glows in the dark. It's like sort of a UV reactive thing from green to purple, and is so beautiful. And Lust Arts does something else really important that is pretty rare in the fantasy toy community. They make dual density toys, which have a different density of silicone on the outside than on the inside. So usually it gives it a lot more realistic feel. So, and they actually allow you to customize that. Like, I recommend getting a big contrast between the two densities so you can really feel it. But anyway, yeah, there you go. This is an amazing toy, and I'm thrilled to have it. Plus, it's one of the few Halloween toys in my collection, and that is super exciting. Even though this is like February, I'm excited for Halloween to come now because I have a perfect toy for it. So there you go. So, speaking of penetrables, yeah, well, we might as well. So speaking of penetrables, because I'm getting my first penetrable sent to me. It's actually going to be a mermaid penetrable, and I talked about that on the last episode. And speaking of the little toe penetrable toy here, I decided to run some Twitter polls, and this was really interesting to me. So I asked, how do you like to play with your penetrables most? And I figured penetration with a penis was going to be big. And I was like, I wonder if anybody really uses them with a strap on or for oral or something else. And I am amazed because right now, as it stands, and there's still a few hours left, 41% of the people who responded do something other than penetrating with a penis with their penetrable. And that's a lot. That's a lot of people. That's like way more than I expected. We got like 23% love it with strap-ons, and 13% with oral, and other 5%, other, I don't even know what else that would be. I mean, my toe penetration counts, but I wonder what else people do with them. So if you have another use for a penetrable that you really love, please, like, you know, tweet to me and let me know, because I think that would be really cool. Would be really, really interesting.
What were the options on the survey?
Penetration with a penis, penetration with a strap on, and oral, and then other.
Oh. And I really like fingering my penetrables. I don't know why I'm slightly embarrassed to admit that, but like ones that I'm really like attracted to, I go down on them, I lick them, and I finger them.
That is cool. And I didn't think about that even. So there you go. I bet that's a lot of the 5%. I actually did a second poll too, because this, so I asked, do you think it would be hot to watch someone take a penetrable? And I have four things, penetrate it with a penis, with a strap on, or give it oral, or all of the above. Right now, almost 50% are like, all of the above. So clearly, like, in my head, I had only been imagining penetrables and penises together. But clearly, this was a very, like, short-sightedness on my part, because there are a lot of other fun things to do with a penetrable. And now I'm really excited to get my own. There's so many
fun things to do with vulvas.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to get my own now, because I shied away from this for years because I thought, I don't have a penis. What am I going to do with a penetrable? Well, that was really short-sighted of me. That was really not being a creative, fun, playful thinker. So now I'm like, I want all the penetrables because I can use them on penises, but there are a lot of fun stuff I can do with them too. So anyway.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Well, thank you, Kit. And by the time this podcast comes out, unfortunately, it'll be too late to vote in those surveys. But, you know, always keep an eye out on Kit's Twitter. Keep an eye out on Trisexual's Twitter. And we have all sorts of fun stuff that you can vote on. So, guys, now it's time to get a word from our sponsor. Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the Trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you will receive 20% off your order at bevibrant.com when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's bevibrant.com and use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the Trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place. Oh, God. Guys, you know, I don't know if we should have recorded a podcast today. I'm not feeling that great. I think we may need to contact a doctor.
Paging Dr. Wolverine. Paging Dr. Wolverine.
Doc, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm on the Twitterverse as Doc Wolverine. I am a medical doctor. I am currently a family medicine resident. And, I'm not really sure where to go and take this, but hi.
Hi.
Hi. So, well, don't worry. We got a question we like to ask for newbies exactly. On the show.
So, what is your favorite dessert?
Raspberry cheesecake.
Mm. Ooh, that's a popular one.
Yeah, cheesecakes are definitely popular, which is good.
But have we had a raspberry cheesecake before?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
So, I think maybe one.
So, fun fact about cheesecake is that, nutritionally speaking, it's probably better than most breakfast cereals.
Oh, you know, I could see that.
Oh, man.
So,
because cereal's just basically like sugar and...
Sugar,
corn, but like in the cheesecake, you have your dairy, you have some, I don't know.
It's
cream cheese.
Well, you got some, you've got the milk proteins, you have, which you generally get from the milk with the cereal, but so you have the milk proteins, you have a relatively longer acting, so you'll actually feel fuller longer with the cheesecake. You have the saturated versus unsaturated fats, which is to say, generally speaking, they process better, they're better for you, and they don't hit your cholesterol as hard. So for all of you fun people who are indulgent out there, remember, if you're going to go and have a quick breakfast, cheesecake is okay. In moderation.
You know,
in moderation.
I personally think that, like, people go crazy with breakfast foods, right? Like, because I mean, even, like, you think about the classic breakfast, it's, like, bacon and eggs and all that stuff. And to me, it's, like, so fatty. It sets me off wrong. I like to eat... my preferred breakfast is a salad. And that's not for any health reasons. I actually don't give a crap about eating healthy. Anyone that knows me knows this. But I actually just like, what's that?
3 cheeseburgers in one sitting.
Yeah, well, we don't have to get into that. But I just like the taste of salad in the morning. And I don't put salad dressing or anything on. I just like, you know, vegetables, you know. But if I eat like bacon and eggs, it'll taste good. But then my stomach's like off for the first part of the day.
See, I love eggs.
Yeah.
I love them. They're so good.
I was going to say, like, my ideal breakfast is probably, like, I'll do...
cheesecake.
Actually, you know, that is a pretty good breakfast, you know, just a slice of cheesecake to start the day. I was going to say, like, generally, like, a piece of toast and then do, like, a bacon, feta, spinach omelet.
Ooh, nice. So we're going to actually pivot and change this podcast to a food podcast, I think. I've talked about it before.
we talk about food a lot, which, you know, I have to ask, what are your thoughts on the whole keto diet? Because I know that's, like, really big right now.
Like, it's, I guess it's, the effects are heavily overstated. It's good because the big thing that the keto diet does is that it keeps your idea of the portions you're eating in line, and it does encourage you to, like, really look at what you're eating to go and sort of maximize your satisfaction. That being said, any diet, if done properly, will do the same thing, and you don't have to completely cut out carbs. Like, really, the big thing that people who go on keto do, it's that they cut out a lot of their, like, previous snacking habits that,
Right. Well, they're suddenly thinking about what they're eating.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, like, what the rule is with food if you're suddenly thinking about it or thinking about portion size or anything like that, just eating less.
Yeah, like, in general. So, like, the biggest thing it does is it reduces the risk of epileptic seizures. Like, that is proven. There is long-term data. If you are epileptic, the keto diet will reduce the prevalence of seizures. Everything else can, like, basically fall in line with the exact same sort of weight loss as proper portion control.
So already we've solved what the perfect breakfast food is, and we've now solved diets in general. I mean, that's something that people have been fighting over for forever. Now it's solved, you know, thanks to the Doctor and Trisections podcast. I think our work here is done.
We still haven't solved the economic crisis, you know, everything like that.
And there is my most burning question, because if we have a doctor on the podcast, I can't not ask about this. Okay, we have all heard horror stories of the objects people get lost in their butt, and a doctor has to have seen some of these, and I want to know, what are the strangest things you have seen people get lost in their butt?
Okay. Do we want volumetric story, or do we want just weirdest object story, like singular objects?
I want both.
Can we have both? Yeah.
Okay.
Both.
I mean, not at the same time. We're still pansy poopers.
All right. So the single weirdest thing that I have borne witness to, I didn't actually see this, but I have seen the x-rays, and I have to go and find these now, because the x-rays are... I need to go and preface this story with a very important notice. Barbie heads are not x-ray transparent.
Wait, Barbie or Furby?
Barbie.
Barbie.
Oh my god, no!
Well, I mean, someone that, you know, you tell people they have their head up their own ass, but you never think, oh, you have someone else's head up your ass.
That means they stuck a whole... Oh my.
No. My. It's worse than what you're picturing right now.
Oh god.
Okay, how?
The Malibu Beach House?
No. So, the x-ray, like, so the x-ray is fantastic because you can perfectly see the Barbie heads, plural. This.
Oh my god! This just gets better.
Someone had decapitated 7 Barbies, hot glued the heads together, stuck them in a condom, lubed the condom up, and used them, sort of like, I guess you would call it, like, either a, like, ribbed dildo or, like, a beaded dildo.
Wow.
But Barbie heads. Like, there was a lot of work involved in this.
Yeah, this is a very specific
super
fetish.
Creative. Yeah, exactly.
I'm impressed.
Oh, come on, Max. Given that, you know, if you had a bunch of Barbie heads stuck together, you wouldn't try shoving that up your own ass?
Honestly, it wouldn't occur to me.
I'm surprised.
I will admit to trying to hunt down my sister's Barbies when I was younger to try to get a look at what was underneath the clothes, and I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably pretty normal.
That is normal, because that was also them actually fixing the Barbie figure, so she was completely disproportionate.
I thought it was always disproportionate, wasn't it?
It's always been disproportionate, but it wasn't until the early 2000s when people started getting more body conscious about this, and they did this whole thing to make her a little bit more realistic looking.
I didn't realize that she was realistic looking nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But how realistic is it to take a bunch of Barbie heads and shove them up your ass? Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Oh.
Sorry. Ken, you're so wonderful.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
So basically you had to get these things out, they got just stuck up there, like...
Yeah, so, I mean, like...
the condom?
So, like, ultimately what happened was the surgeon, like... So, sometimes when things go past a certain point, the anus just decides, nope, not opening. I'm done with this shit. And at that point, you can sometimes get muscle relaxers to go and get things out, and other times you gotta go and basically put someone under, and you go on a fishing expedition.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Is that like surgical, or do you go in through...
No. Like, okay. It's surgical in that, you know, basically you speculum the ass open and you pull things out. Like, and like, I want to go and be abundantly clear that, like, there is no shame in this happening because of just how common it is. Like, if something
I'm sure that doctors are pretty used to this sort of thing by now.
It's about a weekly incident at your typical hospital that you will see someone come in that needs an endo, which is to say, fishing in through the backside.
How deep are these things usually up? Because I know the large intestine's what, like 5 feet? And so do things usually work their way up like several feet in, or is it usually not that deep?
Some things go deeper than others. Like, single objects, there is the infamous bent, which is to say, like 8 to 10 inches up, the large intestine takes a 90-degree hook. And this is actually where a lot of people will get tearing whenever they have anal play, is that if you have a large enough object and you haven't adequately flexed and trained your large intestine to go and handle things, to push it around the bend, you end up with tearing there, which is what the vast majority of bleeding comes from.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't actually feel it when that happens, right? Like, you can tear inside there and you don't actually, like, feel it happening, is that right?
Usually it's a very muted sensation compared to what people are expecting. Like, in terms of, like, structural integrity, like, you're an extra thick sausage casing. Like, that's what your large intestine basically is.
So do you have...
That's what sausage casings are.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you have recommendations for how to, like, work on that to sort of get it conditioned and strengthened a bit so that you can do this sort of thing safely?
Like, the first thing is always find the right amount of lube and it takes weeks of practice to go and really get to that point. And it's, if you have a tear, you gotta stop for about a week to go and let things heal properly. Otherwise, you're gonna start ending up with some pretty serious problems. So it's just sort of a, don't be afraid to start out small and work your way up. Like, you will, you can start to feel things as they touch the bend, but you won't really notice it if the bend tears. So,
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wondering how you know for sure that you have a tear, and is it something that you would need to go to the emergency room for if it's like serious and you're gonna, you know, bleed to death or something?
Oh,
or
yeah, no, if the rule of thumb is that if it is still bleeding after 2 to 4 hours, or if the amount of blood is more than about a cup, go to the ER.
Imagining someone with a, you know, stuff's gone wrong and they're standing there with a measuring cup.
I mean, like, and the other thing is that, like, if you are anxious, I mean, like, I really feel bad saying this in the U.S. because, like, now I'm like, because, like, you know, like, I'm so used to, like, insurance and stuff. Like, don't be afraid to go to the ER. But, like, yeah. You know, like, a lot of people are afraid to go to the ER because it's incredibly expensive. And, like, I'm now, like, sort of, like, I need to go and taper this speech a little bit to go and keep the financial side in mind.
But see, keeping it financial, in my mind, like, it is expensive to go to the ER. Mm-hmm. But if you have a problem, it's going to be more expensive if you wait.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're interested in saving money, you still have insurance issues. Like, yeah, it's a lot of money, but you better start while it's still low.
Well, for me, the embarrassment issue is an even bigger deal. It's like, oh my God, I don't want to go because what an embarrassing problem to have. Like, what's gonna, you know, how are they gonna treat me when I get there? Like, what, you know, are they gonna like laugh at me or what for this? You know. And I think that's a scary thing.
That is a tough thing, but, you know, like Doc's saying, they see it all, right?
Yeah. I have to say, I think American Pie, that movie or whatever, that one thing where the guy got hot glue or something stuck in his penis.
Wait, what?
It was like the second movie or something. Once I saw that, I'm like, you know.
Hot glue?
Or no, it was hot glue. It was like super glue. He used super glue instead of.
He super glued. Yeah, he super. We have seen people, I have seen someone who has super glue, who has accidentally used super glue instead of lube before.
Oh my God.
Luckily, he was just using it for, I'm trying to go, he was just using it for penile masturbation, luckily.
Sure.
So, you know.
Oh my God, can you imagine if you were with a partner and did that, and now you both have to go to the ER?
I want to be stuck with you forever.
It wouldn't be luckily. Very good for anal lube either.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's a way to simulate knotting, right? Like, people always talk about how they want to knot, and like, you lock people, and now you can use super glue. No, bad idea.
This is like, you know, setting your dick on fire.
No. Oh, God.
Honestly, it's just, you know, cotton swabs and acetone. That's how you break down super glue. Mm-hmm. It just takes a very long time. I mean, like, now I'm thinking of the, like, funny stories I've had where, like, if it will fit and or be fit inside, it has been seen in the ER. Like, God, I feel like that's the best way I can go and describe ER stories in a nutshell. Like, I think my favorite story that I'm thinking of is where we had someone who was using, it was a growler. They were using a growler. They were drunk, Lord. And were fucking a growler, and it got stuck. So a growler is, you know, like a huge beer bottle, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it got stuck. And
all right, how about a model train? Has anyone used a model train? Just asking for a friend. Ow.
I'm sure it has been done. I am sure that the locomotive has visited the tunnel.
So we're talking an awful lot about back end plane and anal play and stuff using that. Have you seen things that have gotten stuck in the vagina before?
Really? No. Like usually what I see with the like usually it's things like yeast infections and and like toxic shock and things, where someone vaginally speaking, it's usually it's more difficult to go and lose something up there than it is with anal play. I've heard of things getting stuck in there, but I have never seen it personally. Like, usually it's someone does vaginal play, and the object either wasn't properly cleaned, and you end up with a infection, or, like, with food play or something like that, end up with a yeast infection, things like that.
Mm-hmm. My first sexual partner used to put micro machines inside of her.
Did she really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, I don't know, like, at the time, I don't know, like, if she had, like, a fetish for, like, you know, maybe that's, like, a macro play sort of a thing. Well, it could
have
just been, or...
you know, that's what they had around the house. Like, for me, when I first started, it was the... handle of a hairbrush.
Yeah, I've heard that's a common one to start with.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen people with where the handle rips off, and with the anal play where they broke the handle off. And
oh, jeez.
Oh.
And it gets stuck up there.
That would be sharp too if it had gotten broken. You've got this, you know, rough edge. That's no good.
If you think that's bad, with sharp things, there are people who have used light bulbs before.
Oh my god! This is like, we're getting now into, like, you know, one man, one jar territory.
No, that's a fake video.
It is a fake video, but we're getting into that territory. Ow!
Yeah, if you're gonna go and do a thing, Amazon is a thing. You can order sex toys to your door now. You don't need to go and makeshift. And if you're gonna makeshift, at least do your best to minimize your risks. Look for something with a flared base.
Yeah, look for something with a flared base. Put a condom over it. Make sure it's not something that is breakable or is gonna break off. Oh boy!
Because that's how we do the light bulbs. We very carefully get a condom over them first, because if they break, the condom tends to be strong enough to go and keep the shards from penetrating the condom itself. Or if they do break, they don't go through the intestinal wall because the condom holds at least enough of them in.
Mm.
Is anybody else's, like, pooper, like, squeezing involuntarily right now, thinking about this?
My pooper's always squeezing involuntarily while I'm recording the podcast.
It's going,
so
it's just excitement.
So, while we're on the topic of anal play, I was gonna go say, so the other fun one that I had is the sort of, infamous story that everyone's like, so what is the weirdest thing that you have ever personally had to go and see removed from a patient's butt?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
So, this is a volume story as well as a weird story. I don't need to go and do a content warning here because you're a sexual podcast, so I can...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I need to go and preface this with... It was a full moon, and the full moon thing is, as far as I have noticed, volume-wise, there's not an increase, but weirdness-wise, there definitely is.
So it's really true. All the crazies come out during the full moon.
So, it's the full moon. Patient comes in complaining of abdominal pain, like, totally straight-faced. First, I'm like, okay, so what is this going to be? Someone has the flu? Like, no fever, start to go and feel around, and like the entire abdominal cavity is just rock hard. And so, you know, at this point it's like, okay, when was your last bowel movement? And he's like, you know, yesterday or whatever. And it was like, okay, a little concerning, but like, there's, that's not going to cause this. So go and finally get him into the x-ray, and you can clearly in the x-ray go and see that there is a large amount of blockage in the large intestine. Can't really tell what it is, but you can see the shadows of something.
So this guy's not come clean and said he's been playing with anything.
No. Said, yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, he's just like, oh. So I'm like, have you done anything? Not that I can think of.
That's a risky lie, like, to pull off, right? Like, yeah. you know that somebody's going to be, like, you know, checking you out. Like, you might just, you know, I know it's tough and it's embarrassing, but at that point you're like, somebody's going to find out.
Well,
and they need to find out, because if you're going to get this solved, you know, you might as well come clean. Like, I can empathize with how hard that must have been to try and say something, but, you know, you got to get it handled.
Yeah, like, the thing is that, like, if you come in and you're honest, and, like, you know, this is really important. Number one, you will save us hours of time if you just come in and say, like, hey, I screwed up. I didn't use the right thing. There is a thing stuck in my butt. If you go and you come in and are honest about it, you save at least 2 hours off of your hospital visit. Wow. But on top of that, you save yourself about $400 in tests.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what did he have up there? I'm curious now.
I know.
So after all of this... So, schedule him for a surgery, surgeon goes and takes him in, goes and does all the prep work. A few hours later, I'm in the break room, the surgeon just comes in. You're not going to believe this shit.
That's how you always want to start. You're not going to believe this.
You know when a surgeon says, you're not going to believe this shit, it's going to be good.
Exactly.
So they recovered 3.5 pounds of lovingly shaved potatoes.
Now, Kit,
wait,
do this at home.
That were shaped into perfect eggs. Like, if you saw these things in the grocery store, and they were put in the extra-large egg cartons, it wouldn't be until you touched them that you would realize that that's not an egg.
Someone was playing with a repository t-shirt.
That is amazing. That is the most amazing story I think I've ever heard.
I love it.
The tater taint story.
So, like, I assume that this was, like a oviposition sort of thing, or, like, that's what I assume was happening, and, you know, this individual didn't realize that he could, you know, order things like that that are significantly safer and not, likely to cause a colon seizure, but... Here we are.
What is a colon seizure? That sounds a little scary to me, and I've not heard about that.
So a colon seizure is basically a involuntary reaction where the colon seizes. It just stops functioning. Usually it is a neurological condition, but... In some cases, very, very specific stimuli can also cause it to happen.
But it doesn't send you into, like, what we think of as seizures, where you're, you know...
Well, no, like it's not, like, okay. Seizures where, like, you have someone spasming on the ground. It is... So, however, like, if you can go and, you know, everyone has that sort of, you know, spasming sort of perspective. That is what, you know, is a full body seizure. Now, apply that purely to the colon.
All right, so what other stories have you got for us, or would you like to go into one of your rants?
To go and summarize all of this story, all of these stories, it's a penny of prevention is worth a pound of cure is massively true. And so, you know, spend the time, spend the effort, spend the money, get yourself a flared base.
Yes.
Exactly.
And a body safe toy.
Yes.
Yes, body safe, yes.
Because you don't want to go to the ER. If you have to
We don't want to come and see you, right? Like, that's the thing. We want to know you, we don't want to have to come and see
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Like, you know, like, if you're going to see me, it's much better to go and be like, hey, let's go to a restaurant or something, than like, I'm visiting you at work because I was an idiot. Which, you know, like, that's what you feel like.
Yeah.
And like,
but if you have been an idiot, then don't be afraid to come see
me. Yeah, because again, you're saving us time and you money. And like, if something goes wrong and like you've expended everything you can think of to try and fix the problem, waiting an extra day is just going to go and make things worse. Waiting several days is going to make it exponentially worse and exponentially, you know, more expensive. Like, I can understand the urge to not want to come to the ER, but if you think you should go to the ER, you should probably go to the ER. And you probably should have gone to the ER several minutes to several hours before that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, we generally don't judge you if you come clean. It's the people who are memorable, like the objects might be memorable, but the patients really aren't. If you come clean and are, you know, like, really upfront about what happened. It's the people who just deadpan, like, I have no idea what's wrong. And 3.5 pounds of potatoes. Like, I...
No, I just had the worst idea for a way to propose to your fiancé that, or your girlfriend that happens to be a doctor.
Oh, God, no! No! No!
No! Please don't. Like, okay, so let's go start with rings are sharp.
I think he was thinking the full ring box at this point.
Okay, but like, also keep in mind,
it's still a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, you could probably put it into like an egg shape, like the potato you hollow.
Oh,
out
so
potato.
Just like the eggs you get from those claw machines, or right? A little prize inside.
Yeah, put it right in there.
It goes, I mean, like, you're safer off going and like suspending it in the gelatin. Why are we talking about this? No,
this podcast is a bad effect on people. We talk about the worst things.
Why not?
I cannot endorse this idea.
I mean, we already stick gelatin eggs up our butts anyway.
Which is, you know what? Good. That is a perfectly safe way to go and explore that fetish.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. You are doing a good thing. Have fun. You're not hurting anyone. You're not hurting yourself.
You That's have, good. I have to say, some of the funniest questions in your Twitter feed, too. I was browsing through there, and I saw one. They're great, though. Like, but these are good, because it's like, who else are you going to ask? And I saw one that was like, how nutritious is poop? I sort of giggled a little bit.
It's not. Please do not eat. Please do not eat poop. There are so many.
Yeah.
So many. Both pathogens, like, it's just not good.
If someone gets sick from eating poop, like, would you know that's what caused it?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like, particularly with things like E. coli and the like, it's real apparent. And with, like, other things, it's like, you know, with other things, it's not as upfront.
Well, I mean, it depends on how their breath smells.
Well, I was actually just thinking that because when I was back in college, one of my psych professors, they also do counseling and stuff. And one of their, they were telling us one of their patients actually had a problem because they would take their own poop out, put it on a sandwich, and eat it every day. Yeah. And they were working through, like,
I thought my diet was bad.
Wow, this is devolving really fast. I'm sorry I brought the poop up, but that was a really funny question. And also, I think it's awesome that people feel comfortable enough. Like, you're comfortable enough to, like, answering all of these things that, you know, people would have. Where else are you going to ask this stuff, you know? I think it's fantastic.
I mean, like, I how do I put it? The medical community as a whole has done, like, a really terrible job of, like, doing any sort of, like, community outreach and like, actually, like trying to go and make itself, like, publicly available. And, like, particularly doctors as a whole have, like, sort of presented themselves as this sort of, like, very high tower, highbrow, very academic sort of field. And, like, generally speaking, we're not. We're just, you know, bio nerds with very specific and applicable knowledge.
So you think that might turn people off a little bit to it, or not, you know, thinking about it in a different way?
Well, I think it's that, like, a lot of people, you know, like, I've made myself really approachable, specifically because I am approachable. Like, I am a vast well of applicable knowledge. And, like, generally speaking, like, there are questions that people have that really should be answered, and, like, it should be more, you know, common knowledge about a lot of things. And, like, people are, you know, like, and a lot of this knowledge could go and save people time and money if it's available. Like, yeah, there's also a lot of, like, silly questions, but, like, you know, when should I go to the ER because I cut myself? You know, like, there are people who legitimately ask that question, and it's sort of like, you know, like, and then, you know, there's people who are like, am I going to get made fun of? And it's, well, you'll be made fun of if you finally decide you have to go in, but then try to lie. Because it's the lying that makes the person memorable. Like, I can remember, like, a lot of the weird objects I've seen that people have swallowed and stuff, but I don't remember, like, anything about the patients because they were upfront about it. Comparatively speaking, like, I can go and picture Potato Guy, like, in a snap, because he bold-faced lied through the entire exam.
Oh, man.
I mean, I also imagine, like, when the potato comes out and the surgeon or whatever, I don't know, I guess the guy must be under, but, like, if the guy's not under in this situation, just imagining, like, so, mind telling me where this model railroad came from in your butt? Like, did you just sit in the wrong place? Like, what happened?
Oh, yes, yes. There are so many cases of the magical wonder hole landing upon various objects that,
whoops. So I think my excuse would be, I have a go-to excuse for anyone that experiences this, but really you should just tell the truth. But my excuse would be, oh, I was messing around with teleportation and I got the coordinates wrong.
But really, you should just be honest and say, you know, it's like, you know, when you swallow something and you have to go to the ER or something, just tell the goddamn truth.
Yeah,
they're probably much less embarrassed when they swallow something.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And, like, the other thing is that, like, I see a lot of people who are like, so you're talking about, like, 3 to 5 year olds who do this, and it's like, no.
No.
Children,
you wish, yeah.
Children put things in their nose, children put things in their ear. Adults put things in their butt.
Oh my god, I love that. That is fantastic.
We graduated the butt, yay.
The other thing that's great about you being so open and, like, answering all these questions and stuff, I bet you get the opportunity to clear up a lot of misconceptions. I know you had mentioned you had some stuff to talk about misconceptions about the vagina, and I think that is fantastic.
Yeah, so, like, probably the, like, so there was sort of two major events that sort of, like, brought me onto, like, people's radar. Because I literally just sort of, like, once I graduated med school, I sort of made a new account because I was protected enough that I really wasn't worried about any sort of, like, retribution from anyone trying to go and keep me out of a program or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the big one was, really the big one right now, and it's probably one of, like, the things that people have in their memory, was the vagina rant. And this came about because, there was, I think it was 6 separate posts that were, like, all popping onto my timeline within, like, a day or two of each other. And, like, when people were like, so why do you think that? I got to a point where I'm just like, oh, you can't possibly... You do believe this shit, don't you? So, I basically went and took all of those, and I made a rant. And so, I have now brought up my vagina rant to go and... let's see if I can actually make through this without laughing or breaking face, because... Like, reading this, I didn't realize I was quite this grumpy while I made this, but...
Well, the floor is yours, and I'm excited to hear this.
This is like a vagina monologue. I guess this is technically a vagina monologue. It's a monologue about a vagina.
Yeah.
So...
Is it the angry vagina?
No, it's not an icky vagina. So, the vagina. It's not icky, it's not gross, and it's certainly not the magical carrier of all terrible diseases. You can cut that shit out now. If you're following me, you're hopefully an adult, and that's how I'll be treating you for the rest of this rant. To start with, what most laymen consider the vagina is actually the vulva. The vulva includes not just the vagina, the air quotes, hole, but also the labia majora, the air quotes, outer lips, the labia minora, or inner lips, the urethra, and the clit, if you can find it. The vagina itself is the inner canal between the entrance and the cervix. It's usually 4 to 7 inches deep and protected from pathogens by the labia as well as the lubricant's acidity. You do not penetrate the cervix during sex. You do not want to slam into the cervix during sex. You do not want to try and force semen through the cervix to fertilize the egg. The cervix is a solid barrier, and the mucus protecting it will not let fluids through like that. The vagina does not get loose from sexual activity. It's a muscle group, and like any other muscle group, the more you exercise your muscles, the stronger and more enduring they'll be. Childbirth can cause tissue to tear, making muscles unable to properly contract. The shape of the vulva does not change with sexual encounters. It's mostly genetics with a few outlying factors. You can't tell how much sex someone has had just by looking at their vulva. Despite what anime has said, consistent vaginal sex with a single partner does not, quote, grow the penis.
What? What? I didn't know about that one.
Oh, man.
Vaginal lubricant is not a stronger transmission vector than either semen or blood. Always practice safe sex and use condoms. The most common STI is HPV. It's nearly invisible unless active, and it can be communicated even in its semi-dormant state, just at a significantly lower risk. Use common sense and condoms. The human mouth has the highest bacterial level, followed by the colon. Sorry to say it, your asshole is not cleaner than the vagina. And your mouth is absolutely filthy in comparison. People shouldn't be worried about the vagina being icky, particularly for oral. The vaginally endowed should be worried a filthy mouth getting near their bits, if cleanliness is the worry. Adding lube if things aren't working immediately isn't an indication of anything but lube being needed. Seriously, lube is great and should neither be a point of shame nor seen as dirty. It's a tool used to increase pleasure. So, in summary, as with all sex, be safe, be courteous, stay clean, get consent, use a condom, if you're at all unsure, and have fun. And even if vaginal sex, or even if vaginal sexual content isn't, or contact isn't your thing, it's not gross. It's just not your thing.
Nice.
For anyone out there that still thinks that a vagina or vulva is gross, you can just go ahead and bring that to me. I will take care of it for you.
Or me. Or me.
Or Lily, that's right. All probably all of us. Well, that is excellent. And I think it's good news to get out there. The vagina versus vulva thing is interesting. And I've been pretty good about using the vulva terminology, but it's hard because the vagina has just been such a misused word for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
I love your rants. That's fantastic, actually.
So, Doc, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us or our listeners?
I'm kind of drawing a blank right now. I'm sure...
Remind them how to find you on Curious Kid or...
Yeah, oh yeah, like...
Twitter and all that.
So, I'm Doc Wolverine, Doc_Wolverine on Twitter. I believe I have my Curious Cat near the top, and if I don't, I'm also saying this Twitter handle on Curious Cat as well. So, you know, if you have questions, you know, feel free to poke. If you're embarrassed about your questions, which, I mean, like, I can understand, you can ask me anonymous questions. I'll try to get back to you. Like, my Curious Cat is, like, really overloaded right now. I really ought to do a purge from, like, stuff from, like, a couple of months ago, and just start fresh, because, like, I think I've got, like, 600 and some odd waiting questions.
Oh. Holy shit. Wow. I haven't hardly gotten any,
You know
man.
What we should do, if you're down with it, Doc? We should have people that have questions for you maybe give us some of the questions. We can have you on again to answer
them. Oh my god, I would be so...
Is that something you'd be interested in?
I would be so down for this. Like, I would be down for doing...
Oh my god,
like,
we should totally do that.
That's a great idea.
My only stipulation is we should turn it into a drinking game.
Absolutely. Sold. Well, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the podcast, join us on Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and Reddit. Links and other information can be found in the show notes. I'm Max Chameleon, and I'm totally not putting trains in my butt.
No, he probably will. And I'm Lily Chameleon. Are you getting head from a Barbie? Maybe not such a great idea.
And I'm Kit. Potatoes are super, but not in the pooper.
Sound advice.
Thanks,
sound
guys.
I only want some tater tots.
Take a break and then we'll go get some more. It is, you know, National Tater Tot Day.
It is National Tater Tot Day. We didn't mention that with the potatoes.
Oh. Yeah, it is.
By the time this comes out, we'll be well past here.
All right. So thanks, guys. Love you.
Thanks.